The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the July 2019 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We're going to begin today with Who's Who in Sports, page 8, second line. And we're going to start off with Sadio Mane. He's a forward for the Liverpool, England football club. His height is 5'8", his weight is 168 pounds. He was born April 10th, 1992 in Sédhiou, Senegal. Mane scored 22 goals in 2018-2019, tied for most in the Premier League. He shared the Golden Boot Award with teammate Mohamed Salah and Arsenal's Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang as Liverpool finished second in the standings. In 2016-2017, Liverpool fans and teammates voted Mane Player of the Season in his first year with the club. He made his debut with Senegal's national team in 2012, playing in the London Olympics, and scored a goal at the 2018 World Cup. Question: which team beat out Liverpool for the Premier League title in 2018-2019? Answer, Manchester City, by 1 point. Next, we have Damian Lillard, point guard for the Portland Trail Blazers. His height is 6'3". His weight is 195 pounds. He was born July 15, 1990 in Oakland, California. Lillard averaged a team-high best 28.4 points a game and 6 assists per game in the first two rounds of the 2018-2019 playoffs to lead Portland to their first Western Conference Finals since 2000. His 37-foot buzzer beater sealed a 4-1 series win over the Oklahoma Thunder in the opening round. In 2019, Lillard made his second straight All-Star game, the fourth of his career, and was a Conference Player of the Week in March. He has led the Trailblazers in scoring in each of the last four seasons. Question: where did Lillard play college basketball? Answer, Weber State. And finally, we have Rondell Moore, receiver for the Purdue Boilermakers. His height is 5'9". His weight is 180 pounds. He was born June 9, 2000 in New Albany, Indiana. In 2018, Moore became the first true freshman in Big Ten history to earn consensus All-America honors. He also received the Paul Hornung Award as the nation's most versatile player. Moore set the Purdue single season 2,215 and single game 313 mark for all-purpose yards. He is one of three Big Ten players to ever reach 100 receptions, 114. He scored 2 rushing touchdowns and returned 33 kickoffs and 12 punts for a total of 744 total yards. Question: for which school did Paul Hornung play football? Answer, Notre Dame in the years 1954 to 1956. He won the 1956 Heisman Trophy. Next we have warm-up, page 9. Burning question, was instant replay in sports a mistake? And has a picture here in the middle of three officials in baseball, major league umpires, and TikTok. Finally, longer baseball games, said no one ever, which is one reason why Major League Baseball's decision to review more plays is head-scratching. In overtime of this year's NCAA basketball championship game, Virginia's DeAndre Hunter pushed the ball off the court, but he hadn't knocked it out of bounds. Dez Bryant caught the ball in the end zone of the Cowboys' divisional round playoff game against the Packers in 2015, but he didn't make a reception. In both cases, officials used instant replay to reverse what everyone watching had clearly seen happen. Even slowed down and shown on a loop, the footage didn't seem to contradict the initial calls. But in both cases, those calls were overturned. Video review in sports was meant to make it easier to get the tough calls right, not to get the easy calls wrong. Is it time for instant replay to go? Take the example of Bryant's infamous non-touchdown. The rule book goes to great lengths to define what is necessary for a catch to have occurred. And when the receiver's snag was viewed in slow motion, the referee thought Bryant did not maintain possession as he went to the ground, per one of those guidelines. But Bryant caught it clearly, reached for the goal line, and the ball never touched the ground. Okay, the ball shifted a little in his arm as he hit the turf, but nobody wants to watch a version of football in which that is not a legal catch. If the Bryant play was an example of missing the forest for the trees, the Texas Tech-Virginia out-of-bounds call was missing the forest for a single leaf. Late in overtime, Hunter knocked the ball out of Texas David Moretti's hands, and it went out of bounds. Replay showed that after Hunter poked the ball away, it was still barely touching Moretti's finger. Virginia ball. That logic allowed for a moving screen called on someone because it's impossible for a human being to ever stand completely still or a major leaguer to be called out at the plate because a loose string from his jersey hit a loose strand of leather from the catcher's outstretched mitt. The quest to get calls correct has demanded a level of exactness that sports were never meant to achieve. This tension is evident in baseball, a sport slow to adopt replay. The neighborhood play long granted middle infielders leeway as to whether they actually touched second base while turning a double play. Since 2016, however, the neighborhood play can be subject to review, and fielders can be penalized for playing the game the way they were taught. In a sport that encourages tricking the umpire into calling balls and strikes, page 24, this newfound emphasis on accuracy seems a little phony. It also doesn't help a league desperate to speed up the pace of play. The solution is not to ditch replay entirely. It still helps to fix blown calls. But the trend of making more and more plays reviewable should be reversed. Sports that use replay in a limited capacity, such as tennis, for which the Hawkeye system judges only where the balls are in or out of bounds, don't have these problems. Ultimately, it will always be at the referee's discretion to make calls. They should be empowered, however, to affirm results that anyone can plainly see, not hide behind technicalities. Unboxed, taking the lid off the coolest sports gear. Paul George's performance during the 2018-2019 season garnered plenty of praise, but it wasn't just the All-Star Thunder forward's play that received attention. His signature shoes also caused quite the stir. It started in January when the Nike released the PG3 times NASA, an eye-catching design that sold out in almost every size. 1 month later, a scary scene unfolded when Duke superstar Zion Williamson's left foot tore through the PG 2.5. Williamson was back on the court in March, and since then there has been plenty of positive chatter about the new shoe. There it is in the picture on page 10. The sneaker in the Thunder colorway features a NASA patch on the heel, an American flag on the tongue, and a remove before flight tag. To complete the space theme, the heel includes one of George's favorite quotes. Don't tell me the sky's the limit when there are footprints on the moon. I always wanted to be in the NBA, George said. That's the sky. Now, me being an all-star, me working to become a champion, that's the footprint on the moon. Advertisement, save the oceans. Feed the world, Oceana. Restoring the oceans could feed 1 billion people a healthy seafood meal each day. Visit oceana.org/feedtheworld to learn more. Page 12, warm-up. Watch the home run derby. Baseball stars of the day will go yard again and again and again. The night before the Major League All-Star Game, which returns to Cleveland for the first time since 1997, which sluggers won the last five showcases? These riddles will help you uncover the answers. I'm still wearing the same color, but I switched teams in the offseason. I play in the outfield. I was the National League Rookie of the Year in 2012 and National League MVP in 2015. Who am I? Answer, Bryce Harper. Number two, when I first got to the big leagues, people called me Mike. One of my nicknames growing up, I was the National League MVP in 2017 before being traded to my current team. Who am I? Answer, Giancarlo Stanton. Number three, I pitched for the winning team in the 1998 Little League World Series Championship game. Now I mostly play third base, and I was named an All-Star twice at that position while playing for the Reds. Who am I? Answer, Todd Frazier. I was the first to win the Derby in back-to-back years since Ken Griffey Jr. did it in 1998 and 1999. I was born in Cuba, got my major league start in California, and was traded to New York to a New York team in 2015. Who am I? Yanis Cepedas. And finally, number five. I was born in Radon, California, but I play on the East Coast. I led the American League in home runs as a rookie. I've worn pinstripes since I made my major league debut in August 2016. Who am I? Answer, Aaron Judge. How about July birthday, staying right here on page 12? July 1st, Colorado Rockies center fielder Charlie Blackmon celebrates his 33rd birthday. July 10th, Oakland Raiders receiver Antonio Brown turns 31. July 11th, World Tennis Association Tour player Caroline Wozniacki of Denmark is 29. July 13th, St. Louis Cardinals pitcher Yadier Molina turns 37. July 14th, Anaheim Ducks goalie John Gibson celebrates his 26th birthday. July 20th, Philadelphia 76ers point guard Ben Simmons turns 23. July 23rd, Phoenix Suns center DeAndre Ayton is 21. July 27th, PGA Tour golfer Jordan Spieth celebrates his 26th birthday. July 28th, left wing Zach Parise of the Minnesota Wild turns 35. July 29th, Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott is 26. July 30th, University of Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm turns 21. And finally, July 31st, receiver A.J. Green of the Cincinnati Bengals celebrates his 31st birthday. On our radar, Brooke Nadalny. Her height is 5'7". Her birthplace is Clinton Township, Michigan. Her birth date is February 26, 2001. Her sport is softball. Brooke, a shortstop and pitcher who recently graduated from Lance Cruz High, hit her 56th home run in an 8-5 win over Marysville in April, setting the Michigan State record for most homers in a career. Brooke hit an average of .738 with 17 homers and 51 RBIs to help lead the Lancers to the Mack White Division title. As a junior, Brooke hit a state record, 26 home runs and batted .521 with the 1.286 slugging percentage. That broke her single-season home record for 2017 when she had hit 22. On the mound in 2018, Brooke went 10-for-3 with 113 strikeouts and 91 in a third innings pitched. While playing summer ball for the Michigan Batbusters in 2018, she hit .466 with 14 homers. As a pitcher, she went 21-9 with 154 strikeouts and 173 innings. Next year, Brooke will play at Wayne State in Detroit. Sports Kids of the Month. Still on page 13. Skylar Little, Soldier, 13. Her sport is wrestling, from Welch, Minnesota. A seventh grader, Skylar won first place at the Minnesota Girls High School Championship in the 119-pound division. Last December, she became the first female wrestler to record a varsity win in school history. Jared Payne, age 13, from Sydney, Ohio. His sport is swimming. Jared swam a 23.49 in the 50-yard butterfly at the Great Lakes Zone Championships to set the 11 and 12 USA National Age Group record. This season, he also broke 7 YMCA age group records and 11 state marks. And finally, Ethan Spock, age 14, from Bradley, Illinois. His sport is wrestling. Ethan finished his career at Bourbonnais Upper Grade Center with 4 straight state titles, only the second person in Illinois history to do so. He is the first Illinois wrestler to go undefeated in middle school. He went 163-0 with 17 championships. Are you a sports kid? If you think you have what it takes to be a sports kid of the month, submit your combination, your nomination at sikids.com/sportskid. Continuing with warm-up, siblings, sister, sister. A major trade shifted the balance of power in the WNBA and reunited the Ogumake sisters on the court. Growing up, siblings Nika and Chiney Ogumake did everything together. They played volleyball and basketball. They shared a television, a computer, a bedroom. Then they played together collegiately at Stanford for 2 seasons, but separated when they entered the WNBA. Both number one picks, the elder Nika above right, went to the Los Angeles Sparks in 2012, and Chiney above left to the Connecticut Sun in 2014. That year became the first sister selected to the same All-Star game. Now they're teammates again. In April, Connecticut traded Chiney to Los Angeles for a first-round pick, and the Sparks are now a title contender. Chiney and Nika are not the only Ogumakes who have worn the same uniform. For the past 2 seasons, Erica, 23, and Olivia, 21, played basketball together at Rice. Erica on the far left and Olivia's arrival in Houston correspond with the best 3-year stretch in program history. Said Chiney following her trade to the Sparks, "The first thing I told Nika when all this happened is that I want to win a championship with you. It would be one more thing sibs share." Still on page 14, oh brother. No, you are not seeing double. These twins have teamed up and delivered big-time results. Mike and Bob Bryan. The Bryan twins formed the most successful doubles duo of all time. Together, they have won more pro games and Grand Slam than any other tennis pairing in history. They've also won Olympic gold. Shaquille and Shaquem Griffin. These twin defenders first played together at Central Florida and became teammates again when the Seahawks drafted Shaquem in 2018. The two combined for 73 tackles last year. Jason and Devin McCourty. While playing for the Patriots last season, the McCourty twins made history. They joined the Griffins as the first twin teammates since 1928 and the first to play in and win the Super Bowl. Rarities. Triple play. A Gordie Howe hat trick in hockey is a goal, an assist, and a fight. These players have achieved equally obscure triple feats to which they should lend their names. Pablo Sandoval. In May, the Giants' super utility man hit a home run, stole a base, and pitched a scoreless inning of relief. He was the first player to do all three in a game since Hall of Famer Christy Mathewson in 1905. LaDainian Tomlinson. Three players have logged receiving, rushing, and passing touchdowns in a game since the AFL-NFL merger. The most recent player to make his fantasy owners' weeks was LaDainian Tomlinson in a 2005 game against Oakland. The running back had seven passing TDs in his career. Francisco Arcia. Former Angels catcher Francisco Arcia only played in 40 games last season, but he made one in particular count, becoming the first player to catch, pitch, and homer in a contest. Amazingly, it was the second game that season that Arcia had pitched against the A's. David Leguan. It became a joke among Predators fans that a David Leguan hat trick was a goal, an assist, and a baby. When Leguan scored 2 points and a shootout winner in his first game after his son was born in 2009, his longtime Preds teammate Martin Erat matched the feat 3 years later. And finally, Jared Brown. Old Dominion kicker Jared Brown had an eventful day against Pitt on October 19, 2013. He set a Heinz Field record with a 54-yard field goal. He also recovered his own onside kick and, in the spirit of Gordie Howe, got a personal foul for tussling with an opponent on the same play. Las Vegas Aces center, Asia Wilson's favorite things. Her favorite food, seafood with pasta. Her favorite sport to watch other than basketball, volleyball. Cartoon as a kid, Phineas and Ferb. Actor, Will Smith. Emoji, sad face, tear face with tongue out. Athlete growing up, Candace Parker. Subject in school, science. Book, The Great Gatsby. Animals, puppies. They're the cutest things in the world. Fingers crossed, I get one soon. Moving on to page 16, sound off. If you could be any animal, what would you be? Well, I would be a penguin because they can live on land and in the sea. Plus, Happy Feet is one of my favorite movies. That's Brittany Boyd of the New York Liberty. She's a guard. Next, same question. If you could be any animal, what would you be? A lion, because that's my zodiac sign. I think it represents me perfectly. That's from Stefanos Tsitsipas, ATP tennis player. And finally, if you could be any animal, what would you be? A jaguar, because of its speed and strength. That's Ryan Kessler, the Anaheim Ducks center. Advertisement. Page 17, picture here of superstar John Cena. Wishes take muscle. Shows him showing his big buys along with some other young people trying to demonstrate the same thing. Every 17 minutes, Make-A-Wish grants a child life-changing wish. Wishes can give kids the mental strength to fight their critical illnesses. But these wishes don't just happen. They take muscle. Wishes take the collective force of doctors, donors, and volunteers who come together to make the impossible possible. That kind of strength is irrefutable. Flex your muscle at wish.org. Make a wish. Spotlight. At 17, this is prime time, this Californian is the youngest athlete in World Surf League history. She's also ranked number one and having the time of her life trying to stay at the top. This is Caroline Marks. When Caroline Marks won her first surfing competition at age 10, she remembers thinking that she wanted to feel that way for the rest of her life. And what exactly is her life like at the top? She puts it simply, imagine ruling the world. It's sick. Right now, Caroline is ruling the world of surfing. In April, the 17-year-old won the Boost Mobile Pro competition in Queensland, Australia, to become the youngest top-ranked female in the history of the World Surf League. But Caroline isn't content. With surfing making its debut in the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo, she has the chance to add a gold medal win to her list of accomplishments. I really want to stay here, she says of her ranking. I'm just stoked on surfing. I'm having so much fun. Family ties. Though she began surfing around age 7, Caroline didn't get what the craze was all about until she was 10. Growing up across the street from the ocean in Melbourne Beach, Florida, Caroline would watch her older brothers rip up the waves. At first, she enjoyed horseback riding more. But in a super competitive family of 6 kids, as Caroline puts it, she eventually drifted towards the beach. After a few years of surfing, for fun, she took to the water full-time after that first victory at a local amateur event. Since then, she's enjoyed a rapid ascent to the top of her sport. After the family moved to San Clemente, California, when she was 14, she won national titles in both the girls' and women's divisions. She won the 2 United States Open junior titles and a junior world title before becoming the youngest surfer to qualify for the Women's Championship Tour in 2017. She was just 15. Last year, she earned Rookie of the Year honors. The bigger the event I win, the more addicted I get, she says. I feel more on top of the world. It makes me hungrier. I want it more. When you put a bunch of hard work in it and succeed, it is so rewarding. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, NorthCarolinaReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138.
Time. I showed some cash, then the girl was mine. I took her all the town, I wined her and dined her. She asked me, did I like her? I said, well.